speak now.
Okay. You got it? Okay. Like I said, many of my, I will teach quite a bit from the notes, but I also will teach, I'm a scripture-based person, so when I give you something, I'll try to give you background in scripture. We are a ministry who changes the lives of people with the Word of God. That's what we attempt to do, and allow the Word of God to change your life. So, I need you to write down apostle. I need you to write down apostleship. And apostolic. Those are the things that we'll be working on this semester in particular. We understand that the apostle is the person that God has called to the office. Apostleship is the office itself. For instance, if I say President Obama, or if I say Obama, the first thing you would think about would be president. And, you know, in the natural, in this government, natural government, we live, have a democracy. In the kingdom of God, it's not a democracy, it's a theocracy. But the type of government that we have in this ministry, in what we are attempting to teach you on, is apostolic government. And apostolic government is where the heavens are always open. It's a paradigm shift. As the body of Christ, what we've been always trying to do, we've been trying to leave earth and go to heaven. But what we want to do, we want to bring heaven to earth so we can live here on earth as heaven was here. And so basically that's what we're going to be teaching, how to get heaven to come to earth. One of my favorite scriptures I always go back to, and I always think about that scripture in Matthew chapter 9. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And beginning at Matthew 6 and beginning at verse 9. And it starts off by saying, when Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him to teach them to pray, teach them how to pray. And one of the things he said, this pattern prayer that he gave to him, he told him, I need y'all to pray this way. I need y'all to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. He said, hallowed be thy name, which is holy is thy name. He said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the same thing that's happening in heaven, we needed to be happening here on earth. Jesus came through. He was our example. We're going to find out that it's the foundation that we're building. He is our foundation. And the foundation is built up based on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. It is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're going to go through that. We're going to cover that area. We're going to cover the fivefold ministry gifts. We're going to cover children on light. We're going to cover free children, free sons and daughters of God. We're going to cover the old and the new covenant, and we're going to get into some aspects of grace. So see, these are some of the things that you're going to be looking at this semester. I'm sort of giving you a background on what we're going to be covering. Let me give you some notes here. The culture of honor is a challenge to those long-held approaches and core values one easily find in the historic and contemporary Christian church. So it's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge to you. We're going to find out that we're unpunishable as Christians because of what Jesus have already done for us. And so when we think about these things, you're going to say, well, how can we, if we commit sin, or how can we not be punished for those things? Or how can we not be kicked out of our positions? This is what this culture of honor is creating, an environment where an individual, after he committed a sin, have a safe place, a core place that he can come and be restored to his position. See, if I think about a sick person, an individual, the first thing that you will think about a person who's sick, you want to have a place for them to take them. So you take them to the hospital. If a person who's a Christian get into sin, you got to have a place, a safe place that they can come, that they can be restored to their position. And so that's the type of environment that we are creating. That's the type of environment that Jesus walked in when he was on the earth. The perfect example was the lady who was caught in an act of sin. We'll cover that scripture. We'll show it to you and how he handled those situations. Culture of honor represents an environment of freedom. Jesus came to set us free. We can operate in free. We're not in bondage to any situation. It's a freedom that we operate him in. It is for freedom that Jesus set us free. If you turn to the scripture over in Galatians chapter 5, and I'll just read one verse out of there. Galatians chapter 5, looking at verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," our freedom, "wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So he came to set us free. And many times what religion has done is put us in bondage, telling us what we can do and what we can't do. It focuses more on what we cannot do than on what we can do. Let me give you a definition of the culture of honor, a principle of honor. The principle of honor states accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So that's the principle of honor. You might want to go over it and repeat it. Normally in each class, at the end of every class, I will give you a meditation scripture. And so you can have something to meditate on while we're away. Also, many times I give you a reading assignment. And for this particular class, this first class, what I want you to do as a reading assignment, I'm not going to ask you to read the book. You're going to read the book before it's over with. But I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's going to sort of give us a foundation on what this culture looks like and what the body looks like. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships because life flows through honor. Life flows through honor. Actually, honor was the first commandment or promise that God gave to us. And one of the things he said, if you look at scripture tells us that it sort of gives us principles on what the word is saying to us. And so one of the commandments was God said, "Honor thy mother and thy father, that you may live long upon the earth." So that's a principle there. So honor has a long life to it. When you accurately acknowledge who people are, you're recognizing their God-given identities and their roles. That's why they are God-given. See, we have people give us names, they give us aliases, but that's not what we're necessarily talking about, the names that individuals give you. You're talking about what God has begun to call you. If I say a mother or father, you get a picture of what a mother and a father look like. If I say son, daughter, you'll get a picture of what a son is to a father, a daughter is to a mother and a father. If I say an apostle, most of us don't have, can't get a picture of what an apostle is. And so our prophet, you know what it's supposed to be, but you cannot get a picture of what it is. So when this class is over, you're going to have an accurate picture of what an apostle is. You're going to have an accurate picture of what a prophet is. One of the scriptures that God, that Jesus quoted to us, he said, he that receive a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward. He that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receive a righteous man reward. And so when we see that, we're going to be able to, when we hear the name apostle, there's a principle that you can put apostle in there, you can put a pastor in there, you can put a teacher in there, or you can put a Christian there. He that receive a Christian in the name of a Christian shall receive a Christian's reward. And so, and that's when I say these are the names that God gives. These are the God assigned names that individuals have. And when we talk about honor, that's what we're talking about, honor. He that receives an individual in the name that God has given to them, then you receive the reward that they have on their lives. So like I said, I will be talking a lot about apostles this semester. And so get ready for it. So a scripture, Matthew 10:41, and that's what it says. He says this is what he meant when we recognize the God-given identities. In fact, that'll be your first meditation scripture for this class. I do this because they have online students, and when we give quizzes sometimes, they have to know exactly what the meditation scripture is. And so the meditation scripture for this class this week is, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. That's come from Matthew 10:41. And what I want to do, I want to take and create in you. One of the scriptures that God gave to us was, let's turn to Luke 5. And looking at verse 36, Luke 5:36. Say, why are we going here? I want to show you something so that I want you to, the old core values that you had, I want you to remove them. I want you to take them out completely. Think about those no more. We're going to put some new values in you as we are teaching you. So, What Jesus said here, he's teaching a parable in verse 36, 5 and 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. He said, no man put a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. Verse 37 said, and no man put new wine in old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put in new bottles, and both are preserved. So what I'm saying what you knew before, we are trying to remove. We're going to put new stuff in you. So that old stuff that's in you, we're going to try to remove it out of you and put new stuff in you so you can know how to operate in this culture that we are creating here at Word of Life Christian Center and Ever Increasing Word Training Center and LTMA, all those branches of the government, of this apostolic government that God has set up here in the earth realm. What God is trying to do, he's trying to get his supernatural government back in the earth realm. And so the apostolic government, one of the government, part of the governments that has been missing. And we'll see how you did it. And so I'm going to start off by telling you, turn to Isaiah. We'll go straight there. Isaiah 9. The government that that God is reestablishing in the earth is not a natural government. It is a spiritual government, and it is a supernatural government. Everywhere we go, supernaturalness should be happening in our lives. The supernatural should be happening in our lives just like breathe. We shouldn't even have to think about it. We don't think to breathe, so when we need a miracle, a sign to operate in our lives, we shouldn't have to think about it. We should be able to bring it to our lives, just like breathing. When I'm walking along, I'm not thinking about how I breathe or what I breathe. And so when he walked the earth, one of the things that Jesus said, he was manifested in the earth realm to destroy the works of the devil. And so when he walked up on sickness and disease, if he walked up on a blind eye, guess what he did? That eye, when he left it, it was no longer blind. That person could see. If it was deaf, when he walked away from it, they could hear. If it was lame, when he walked away from it, that person could walk, no matter what it is. So we should be the same way. We should get to the point that we know that the same thing. Jesus told us in John 14, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go unto my Father. We should be doing the same works that Jesus did when he was here on earth. But the reason we are not doing those works is we have not been taught, we have not been trained how to operate in the kingdom properly. And once we learn how to operate in the kingdom, this awesome kingdom, we serve an awesome God. We serve, a creator who can create anything. And he's our Father. So if he can do it, and Jesus showed us how to do it, Jesus walked the earth as a man. So he was our example. He was giving us an example. This is how you walk this kingdom. He taught his disciples, his apostles. He taught them about the kingdom. And so we should know how to operate in this kingdom, just like Jesus. So when we finish this class, when you finish and leave here, you're going to at least know how to do it. Now, whether we do it or not, it's going to be a total different story. The word of God in James tell us, he said, don't be just hearers of this word. He said, but also be doers of the word. And so if you never think that you can do it, if you hear it and you don't go out and practice it and do it, I mean, what you got to lose if you try to do it and it don't work? And when the next time it come up, I have an opportunity, I'm going to try it again. And I'm going to try it again. And eventually, guess what's going to happen? It's going to work for you. It's going to, and that's the way this kingdom operates. Favorite script, one of the favorite scriptures of mine is Spirit of God gave to me, and just take these things and hear them, go back. I'm just a pointer. I just point you to the scriptures, and when I point them to you, go back and you begin to look at them, meditate them, see what the Spirit of God is saying to you, because I'm going to speak them as you give them to me, and when I give them to you, it's for somebody in here so they can use them. One of the scriptures he gave me a long time ago when I first came back into the kingdom of God, and I was in a hurry to do everything. I just wanted everything to happen right now, right now, right now. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, I went to a meeting basically. And I say, I see these people get so excited about the things of God. And, your word come out and they get excited. I say, I know I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I got the word of God in me, and I said, why am I not, so excited about the things of God? And so he didn't answer me. I was riding along. My wife and my three kids, we was driving out of Texas, and I was listening to my smooth jazz on the radio, riding along. And as I was riding along, all of a sudden, and about 3 or 4 minutes later, I came back and I asked him again. I said, Lord, I asked you a question a few minutes ago and I didn't get an answer. I wanted an answer. And so he said, that's good. He said, when you do that, I mean, we was persistent in it. And because that's why the scriptures tell us, blessed is a man who thirsts and hunger after righteousness. And he said, they shall be filled. He said, there's a thirst beginning to build up in you. And so then he gave me an answer. And he gave me that scripture. I've been studying Mark chapter 4. And over in Mark chapter 4, he was telling about the parable of the sower. And then he got down to that verse in Mark 4:26. He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. That seed springs up and grow, he knew it not how. He said, and he sleeps day and night. He said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He said, it is a process. Many times it don't happen immediately like we want it to. But he said, if you keep it up and you keep doing it, it's going to happen for you. And that's what the word of God said. That's why he told Joshua. He said, you know, in that Joshua 1:8, I just threw out some scriptures at you so you know it. And he tell us, you know, he told Joshua, he said, look, he said, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, out of your eye, but you should meditate in it day and night, and you make your way prosperous, and you have good success. He was saying there are some things that you have to do in order to operate in this kingdom the way I set it up. Everything that you need, I've already provided for you, but you got to go in and you got to get it out, dig it out for yourself. So let me go back to here in Isaiah here again. Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6. And verse 6, and I'm talking about the kingdom, I'm talking about this supernatural kingdom that God set up in the earth realm and supernatural government where heaven is open, always open. And the Spirit of God, you can always hear the voice of God when the heavens are open like Jesus did. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born. It's the prophet Isaiah. And he began to prophesy what was going to happen. He said, unto us a child, a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He said, of the increase of his government and peace, you know, when we think about peace, and, you know, people always define peace and they hear it. When I think about peace, I always see, you know, I make it easy for me. I say it's where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. And so if you're walking in health, guess what? Nothing is missing and nothing broke. If you got, you know, pocket full of money, nothing is missing and nothing is broken. See? And so he said, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So this was, he prophesied way back when in the Old Testament, but Jesus came, he said, on his shoulder shall his government be established. And so Jesus came and he established that government. And he said, of that government, of that peace, there shall be no end. So we should be operating in peace right now where nothing is missing and nothing is broken in your life. That's a present day word for you. He said, there should be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. Then I like that last statement right at the end of that statement. It say, and the zeal of the Lord shall perform it. He didn't say I had to do this. He didn't say man had to do this. God said, I myself is going to do this. I'm going to reestablish my government. What I need to do, though, I need to find an individual who's going to hear what I say and be obedient to what I tell them to do. And then I can perform what I need to do in the earth realm through them. See, we, many times what we do, we try to do these things ourselves. God said, I didn't tell you to do those. He said, I was going to do that. So God said, I'm going to do this. And all I have to do is find some people who are going to be obedient to what I tell them to do. And then they can operate in this kingdom the way I set it up. So again, how do I get to this part? I need to lay this foundation, let you see it, and then we can go on with the rest of the class. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter chapter 2. Always think supernatural. You know, it's not natural anymore. It's not a natural kingdom. It's not a person king. It's a supernatural kingdom. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, and the Spirit of God through Apostle Paul, which I'll be ministering from many times this semester, is the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. I studied behind him. I read behind him. So, and I like the way he teach. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verse 19, And this is what happened to us after we came into the kingdom. Most of us in here know how we got into the kingdom. Romans 10:8-9, it's the Apostle Paul talking to the Romans, and he said, we get in the kingdom by what? He said, we get in the kingdom. He said, what says it? The word is nigh thee. 10:8-9. He said, what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart. That's the word of faith which you preach, that if thou shalt confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and say thou shalt be saved. Now you're in the kingdom. Now you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You got that now. That's covered for you. But now I need to know how to operate in this kingdom that God has made me. I'm a new creation. And since I'm a new creation, it's not my old man. My mom, my grandmother, mother used to say, you know, I looked at my hands, they look new, and I looked at my feet, and they did too. See, I look at my eyes, they didn't look new, but what I'm saying is something on the inside of us took place. You got a brand new spirit on the inside of you. You got the nature of God on the inside of you, but just because you got it, you got to learn how to use it. And, you know, the Apostle Paul say, you know, he say, you differ nothing from a servant if you don't mature in this thing. He said, you got to mature in it. He said, you can be Lord of all, but until you mature in it, you can't operate in it. And, you know, I've given an analogy of a young kid. I used to use guns. I don't use guns anymore, but I tell him about cars. You know, I got a six-year-old, and I give him my key, and I tell him to go out there and go to the store somewhere. Right. Kid don't know anything about going to the store with a car because he don't know how to operate it. Right. Same thing in the kingdom. We came into this kingdom as brand new converts. Brand new Christians, and we think we can go out and operate in this kingdom the way God set it up. But we have to learn, we have to train how to operate in this kingdom. And until we do, we're never going to see any supernatural things happen in our lives. So we have to, that's why, you know, y'all heard the Spirit of God, and He put on your hearts, come in and, you know, mature, learn some more things in the kingdom. You never stop learning. You know, it's an ongoing process. There's so much of God until massive, you know, so you can never learn enough. So keep that heart open, keep that mind open that you can always learn more. There's always things learning. And myself, I went to school over 12, 14 years. And my sisters, my siblings used to ask me, when are you going to finish? I said, I'm going to be a permanent student. I'm not going to ever finish. I'm going to continue to go to school. I'm going to go to school forever. And so, but I did. I eventually got out of school and went to work. So, but anyway, here in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, this after we came into the kingdom, and verse 19. It tells us, it says, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens. When we think of citizenship, a citizen, that means I'm part of something. I'm part, you know, if I'm thinking of a citizen of the United States, you know, I am an American citizen. I have the rights to everything that Constitution has offered me. I have a right to it, and I have to go into it and claim everything that belongs to me. It says, now therefore no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And in verse 20 say, and are built up on the foundation. Here's the foundation. We're getting ready to lay this foundation. Like I said, get rid of all this other stuff that you knew. And built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus himself was the chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets came along and built up on what Jesus, the foundation that he laid, he built it up. And so that's how we should be operating in this kingdom, the way Jesus did. Find out what he did. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle John and Apostle Peter and James and all, they built up on the foundation that Jesus had laid down. And then they began. Verse 21 says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are built, you know, whom also you are built together for habitation of God through the Spirit. So it's not a natural kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom that we're in. It's another realm. It's another realm altogether. And so we have to know that also. We have to get our thinking process. We have to understand that we're not talking about natural kingdom, because, you know, the Apostle Paul always pops up, and I always hear him as I'm sitting, as I'm reading, as I'm ministering to you. And one of the things he tells us, and this is talking about our mind here, he said, and Romans 12:2, he makes a statement. He said, and be not conformed to this world, this world system, the way the world does it. You know, when the world system throws something at it, you got a better system. You got, and so he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know. See, there's some things that we have to know, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we don't allow this world system to form us, then we can be transformed. When the world system come and throw things at you, like sickness and disease, they can always throw it. There was a deception, because Isaiah 53:4, God said he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, I am healed. I am. It's a done deal. And all I have to do is believe it and receive it. And once I believe it and receive it, it becomes mine. I own that, because he's already provided that for me. And so we have to know that. That's part of that. You know, it gets into you. It becomes part of not just your new nature, but you have to get it up here also. That you have to get that mind together. That's why the meditation is so important, and reading and studying the Word of God, because like I said, it's just not going to pop on you. One of my secrets is, as I go, I let out some of my little secrets. When I was in school, I had to do a lot of studying. And I was in school, and when I was a young person, my grandmother was a great influence on me, and so my grandmother used to tell me, she said, now, if you want to remember something, what you do, you take your notes, and after you take your notes, you take the notepad and you put it under your pillow. And at night, that what's in the notepad gonna seep out into your through. I believe that. I was just like a kid. You know, but the Spirit of God said, unless you receive the kingdom just like a little child, you can by no means enter. So nothing is too, you know, when somebody says something to you, it ain't that deep. You know, so if she said, I believe that, you know, just like little children believe in Santa Claus, I believe that it would happen that way. And so even now, when the Spirit of God give me something and I wanted to retain it in my heart, I take it and put it under my pillow. That's how, humble I am about the things of God. And I think he'll do it for me that way. Let's turn, while we're here in Ephesians chapter 4, we building up on this foundation. It's a grace foundation. Apostle Paul, we know, really said, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. He told us it's a grace kingdom. And grace kingdom means it's a supernatural kingdom. Grace kingdom means that I don't have to do it myself. That's why he said in Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not of works. He said, if you did it, then you can boast about it. You know, I went out and I did it. We have to know that God himself did it. And since he did it, then I can't take the credit for it. God himself did it. And so that's why in Ephesians 2:8, so we have to get away from what we can do, our performances, things that we can do ourselves, and put our trust in Almighty God, that he's already provided it for us. So he says here in Ephesians 4, and I read verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But he said, unto every one of us is given grace. Everyone who's in this kingdom, in this grace kingdom, God has given us a certain amount of grace. And we need that grace in order to operate in the kingdom. We need God's ability to operate in this kingdom. We can't do it ourselves. We need his help. And so when you get in a bind and something you don't quite understand, you can call on that grace, and he'll give it to you. That's what you need to do, you know, because he himself is provided that free gift for you. He goes on to say here, he said, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So ascended means that when he left here, he ascended to the throne of God. And he sat there on the right hand of God. That's where he's sitting right now. And he sent the Holy Spirit back. You know, he told us he's going to do all those things to the apostles. And he did. He took care of all that. We're going to get some of that. We're going to see some of that this semester. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So in he say fill everything, all things from eternity to eternity. Jesus have covered every situation. He's covered. That's why we can make that statement. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. That's who I am in him. It's nothing I did. I took on his righteousness. I put on his coat of righteousness. I can walk around and say I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I couldn't did enough to make myself righteous in the sight of God. There was nothing I had to do. But I can say I am righteous because of his righteousness. And so he goes on to say, he says, and he gave some. He didn't give everybody. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. And he gave some pastors and teachers. So what he did, he put a certain amount of grace in each one of those. We call them the fivefold ministry graces, the fivefold ministry gifts. And he put that grace in each one of them. And it was for a particular purpose. It wasn't for their own private use or their own personal use, but he gave it to them for the body of Christ. And the first thing he said, I gave them these gifts, these I imparted to them so they can impart to the body of Christ that they can, first of all, that they can what? Perfect for the perfecting of the saints. That was the first thing that he said. He said, for the perfecting, that perfecting here don't mean that I'm perfect at what I do. It means maturing in the things of God. That's what perfecting means, that I can mature. I can be mature in this kingdom and operate in. He said, for the work of the ministry, all of us should have something that we should be doing in the ministry. And, you know, Jesus left that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's part of the gospel. And we need to be preaching the gospel. He say, and even here at the ministry, I see Brother Youssef back there. He's on the cameras. He's working in the ministry. That's part of what he needs to do. I think about those table waiters that in the book of Acts, they, you know, he said, find somebody, you know, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And those table waiters, they were servants, but they was in the ministry. They worked in the ministry. We all have something to do in the ministry. When I first got here, one of the things they told me, how you spell ministry? Ministry spelled W-O-R-K. There's always work to do in ministry. Always, always work to do. So there's something for you to do. And so if you're here, you're going to work in the ministry. You say, for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. He said, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so we're a long ways from that, but we're going there. We're getting there. And then he says, watch what he says right here in the end. I'm just going to read this last little statement. He says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a mouthful right there. See, we supposed to, while we're here, you know, the little time that we only here for a short time. Here's while we are here, we supposed to be operating just like Jesus was operating when he was here on earth. That's what those fivefold ministry gifts are supposed to be doing to each one of us. They're supposed to be imparting these graces to you that you can mature. And when you mature, then you come to that stature. You're going to come to that stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Or you're going to walk around. You can, yeah, and he say, 1 John 3 and 8, say he was manifested in the earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what we should be doing as Christians, as believers. We should be destroying the works of the devil. That's part of the things that we're going to learn how to do. this semester. You know, I like something just sort of land a foundation for you. And one other scripture, that's why over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's why I tell you I need you to read that chapter, because the Apostle Paul lays it out. You know, we being the body, and, you know, he what he does, he takes and he puts it in, we're called the body of Christ. And every part of the body is important to the body. You know, I think about my arm. I need my arm, but I think about my little toe, and, you know, sometimes your little toe get a callus on it. And when that callus get on that little toe, guess what? You know, that whole body hurts. You can't think straight. Why? Because when you're trying to walk around, that you know, that callus, you can feel that callus on that toe. So in the body of Christ, when somebody in the body of Christ is hurting, that means the whole body should be hurting. And so it's our place to help restore that individual back to his rightful place. That's why we're called the body of Christ, every one of us. And just because that, you know, the individual committed a sin act, you know, he was caught in the snare of the devil. And so we have to find a way. We have to learn ways to restore that individual back to his place in the body. We're going to see scriptures that show us how to do that. It goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, turn there. I'll just pick out a couple passages. Then I give you a few more notes. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's what I told you. I just read through it and see it, what it says. And the Apostle Paul saw it about teaching the Corinthian church. He was teaching them church doctrine here. And he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he said, I will not have you ignorant. See, if you know, spiritual, he says spiritual things, basically what he was saying. He goes in, he talk about, the ninefold manifestation of the Holy Ghost. He talks about the natural body. He talks about, you know, the eyes, the ears. He say if the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? He talks about that. And then he gets in verse 18, and one of the things he said in verse 18, he says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. So, you know, just because I'm not an apostle, guess what? I can operate in the apostolic anointing, because that grace that he has put on me in him, that he has imparted to me. If the apostle is doing signs and wonders, then I should be able to operate in signs and wonders. Whatever, that's at Matthew 10:41 again. Say, he that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle reward. So whatever is on his life should be on my life. And you know, because if what we're going to find out, that the first two, the apostles and the prophets, what they're doing, they're hearing from heaven. They find out what heaven wants here on the earth. And as they find out, as we go through these fivefold ministry gifts, we're going to find out that as we go through them, whatever heaven wants here, the apostle is going to hear it. And then he's going to come back and he's going to tell us. And that's why it's so important that when we hear things, you know, I got to the point that when I would seek God, or whatever I was seeking God, or when I began to pray, I know that I could come to the sanctuary and my man of God is going to have my word in his mouth. I don't have to go to him. I don't have to go. I don't have to hear from him. But as he's ministering, if they got, you know, 5,000 people out in that audience, if the man of God is spending time in the presence of God, your word is going to be in his mouth. And that's, and you know, I can guarantee you that if you're listening, if you're expecting, you come in with expectation, your word is going to be there. That's why God tells us names are important to us. He goes on to say, and then he gets, and I want to show you this in verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. Word of God says here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. See, just like your natural body got members, My arm is a member of this body. My legs is a member of this body. Every person who come into the kingdom is a member of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ himself being the head, and we all are members. Whatever Jesus does, then the body should be able to do. Where my body go, where my head tell my body to go, everything that's on me, my arm that's going to drop off over here and sit here and say, I'm going to stay here till you come back. Where he go, I'm going to go with him. And so he says here, and God has set some in the church. And then he gave us an order here. He said, first apostles, and that's why many times in the body of Christ, we're not seeing the supernatural in operation because the order is wrong. And since the order is wrong, God said, well, you're doing it according to man's way and not according to my way. God is very specific in how he do things. I look back and I see the temple. When he told Moses and all to do the temple, he even told him how he wanted the thread put in the curtains on the wall. He told him where he wanted to put the buttons, every button. And he's specific at what he tells. So when he set up his government, he wanted the government to operate that way. If it's not operating in that way, guess what? We're doing it in man's wisdom and not in God's wisdom. So he goes on to say, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. That's your miracle. That's your signs. That's your wonders. You know, government is in order. Government is in its place. You're doing things like God wanted to do. But, you don't have to do it because the order is in its place. God said, I'm the one who's doing it. But you just following along my pattern and the way I set it up. And he goes on to say, he said, then gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversity of tongue. I could read the rest of the part because, it said all apostles. We know everybody's not an apostle, but you can now operate in an apostolic anointing are all prophets. All are not a prophet, but if you're sitting under a prophet, you can operate in a prophet's anointing. That anointing that's on their lives should come off on your life. And again, like I said, we it's going to be a good class. I can see it already. You're very receptive. And so meditation scripture for this class is Matthew 10:41. Read as your reading assignment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll come back next week and we'll get more into some notes. I'll give you some notes. I do teach from the book sometimes. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father. We thank you, Father, that we are no longer just hearers what you tell us to do, but we are now become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.